Aaron, how much time do you think you'll need for the budget?
10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Basically, oh, just an approval.
Okay. Well, let's keep things moving as quick as we can. So I'll hand back to Robin.
Okay. Thank you, Melvin. Well, as we did this morning, that we're moving through the different programs, and basically Peter's guiding us through, and I'm moderating, calling for questions. Just one thing that we want to do, gentlemen, is, again, and Peter, so that we're all working in tandem, Peter will lead us through, and then I'm just going to kind of be calling out on one another, all of you. And also, we really do want to not just rush through. We're going to make this go pretty quickly, but we don't want to rush that, Peter, when we're done with a section like this, we will stop and hold and just really, at the very end, let everybody's eyes get on this, make sure this is what, as a council, we really want to endorse and put forward to the General Conference of Elders. Now, this is congregational care. Peter is going to guide us through it. Of course, Vic's probably going to want a first and foremost comment, Peter. Then we can build upon Vic's comments. So, Peter, go ahead.
I did change the goal at the top to say a Christ-like service environment that fosters spiritual growth. And I got rid of this, okay?
Yeah.
oops.
I see the environment to be that fosters spiritual growth.
Yeah, hang on a minute. Redo. Redo typing and redo type, redo delete.
And if I can make, a comment, Peter, and I didn't mean to leave out Denny as president, that... because this all falls under Denny as well, that Denny and Vic, if you want to make comments first, and then as a council we can chime in to help edit or build, okay?
So then Vic asked me to take away the percentages, which also means we have to reword a couple of these lines that calls upon surveys and things, especially the second one. Increased satisfaction of members. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, they said it was measured by pastoral assessment and attendee surveys. But there was nothing for youth, they didn't say survey, so it's a question of, I think this has to go, Vic.
Yeah.
And then down here as well.
Satisfaction with what?
I didn't say before, did it?
No.
Increased satisfaction of members. So the last one says with educational programs, so this is the satisfaction of members with what? Yeah. Good question.
With pastoral care.
Yeah, isn't it trying to say that they're happy in their congregations and with their minister? It's satisfaction. It's not worded clearly. With their...
And church experience.
Yeah, I think it's... Congregational care.
Congregation.
It's more than
with
just
their
pastor.
Overall church
yeah.
experience.
Yeah.
With their overall church experience. With their expectations, increased satisfaction with expectations of the church experience. I mean, that's what we're getting at.
Yeah, the title is congregational care. How about increase member satisfaction of in congregation. Isn't it a part of being a part of that congregation? Mm-hmm. That they're happy, satisfied?
Well, it's in their congregational environment, I guess.
Yeah. What's the work of their
congregational environment?
The church experience, maybe?
Church experience.
Well, that's what I was saying, the whole church experience.
With overall church experience.
With their
congregational experience.
How about increased member satisfaction with UCG? It's care and programs.
That I like that because it's being more specific.
Yeah.
Could I make one comment, which is philosophical, perhaps, and overarching?
Can I ask Scott?
No, go ahead.
Can you just repeat that for me while you... Increase member
satisfaction
with...
Satisfaction with UCG, it's care...
Do we need to say UCG? Do we need to say UCG when this is all UCG?
All about UCG.
When we just say church?
With the church?
Yeah, because we haven't said UCG anywhere. This is all UCG, United Church of God.
The church. With congregational care and programs, then?
Yeah, with the congregational care, that's what this is entitled,
Congregational care and its programs.
If I could make a comment to that, Denny and Vic.
One thing that I'm seeing in our objectives, and maybe it's a goal, maybe Bill can add, one word that we've been using a lot in the last year and our desire has been to integrate the church into what we call a whole church effort. Remember we discussed that with the media program, that it was going to have to be a whole church effort. Whether it is in preaching the gospel, whether it is in congregational care. In other words, what I see here, gentlemen, is pastor up here, I see members here, I see youth there, education programs. Is there somewhere where we could put whole church, is that an objective or is that a goal?
Well, it's a nice, it's an unclear word. You know, what I'm thinking about is that when I was a part of, you know, church, it's our, not only our congregational care, but it's also the work of the church. You know, it's the it's the home office, headquarters, whatever. And we want member satisfaction with the work of the church and the local congregation. Okay. You know, something along that line. That gives me a more understanding of wholeness.
Okay.
Wholeness meaning the big work of God and then also their local church. And that's actually the two prongs of our mission.
Bob?
Of the very first point, maintain current pastor.
That's where I was going.
Yeah. Although I think that we need to look at that.
Yeah, we need. That's not it. Yeah, I was the same thing, and I was thinking instead of maintain, it needs to be something like improve current pastor congregational ratio.
Yeah.
Because right now, it's not where we want it to be. Right.
Because that can be misconstrued.
Yeah, we're not maintaining. We're
maintaining
way behind
now.
We're
maintaining what we had a year ago.
How about optimize?
Provide for pastoral care. There you go. That's better.
There you go.
Provide pastoral care for all congregations.
That's better.
That's better.
I like that.
That's good. That's more realistic.
Because a congregation may be 6, a congregation may be 18, a congregation may be 45.
Yeah.
You know, and they all need care.
They all need care. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, one more read over the objectives then.
Yes.
Well, but the bottom one, increased member satisfaction.
Here's something again. Our objective, and we're here equipping the saints, if we want to use Paul's words.
Right.
Do we have an objective at all?
Yeah.
We're talking about providing, increasing. I just lost the word, and it was there for a second. Member participation, involvement. Are we speaking of that at all?
We're not.
In our objectives.
That's a good point.
Participation of our members in the church.
You see, it's down below it all here.
Do we have it as a strategy?
Strategies?
Or should that be raised higher up?
Opportunities for involvement.
Pardon?
Opportunities for involvement. Just above here.
Critical success factors.
Critical success factors.
Where were
right there. Opportunities for involvement.
Yeah,
but that's a critical success factor.
But that doesn't.
See, in order to succeed, we have to provide opportunities for involvement. But then, what strategy is it to provide involvement? Any of them?
We need to.
Train church pastors. Provide pastors with training.
Before we get too far down, we should finish that. This is one.
Yeah,
but we're just seeing if there's anything.
We're just
down
seeing where we're not going to stay down here. We're just trying to find. We're talking about
member servicing.
Third from the bottom. Exactly.
Member service involvement was down there.
Third from the bottom.
Where?
Improve member service involvement.
Yeah, it is. It isn't spelled out very clearly, is it?
So we'll come back to that.
It's low on the totem pole.
Yeah, we need to. Yeah, we need to.
I think this is an opportunity, and I'm just suggesting this. This is where we're at in this new chapter that we want to focus on meaningful, responsible participation of our members.
Can I go back to the first line there? Provide pastoral care for all congregations. We really need to provide effective pastoral care. Not just pastoral care.
We need to change that.
I think that was the first and second one. If you look at the words on them, both of them, we got congregational care for all congregations. Both of them, they want to have slightly different wording.
Pastoral care is the first one.
Then we want the members to be satisfied with the congregational
increased member
care.
Satisfaction.
But one way that either that's done as a strategy is that I think people become more satisfied when they're participating and feel that they're in an atmosphere where they're allowed to participate, to where there's an atmosphere of opportunity. I mean, this is where we, I think, need to make that really punch out there.
I would say that increased member satisfaction by engaging the members with the church, the congregation, and its programs. You know, something like that.
Involving.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Involving.
By involvement. Yeah. By involvement with the church. Yeah. With the...
Yeah.
The problem, Peter, with programs is look at the last one. Members educate. We've already said...
Yeah, I think Scott was thinking with programs, it's that the preaching the gospel and everything, we want them to be feel good about what the church is doing as a whole, not just with the educational
programs.
Okay,
by involving them with the church and its programs.
And its proclamation efforts,
how about, and its work?
That's what I say. That
with the church, we call it the work.
The church.
The church and its work are...
Capital.
Involve them with the church and with God's work.
Then we can
involve them with the church and the work and God's work.
Well, see, we've already got congregation out of there. I was thinking in terms of member satisfaction involving them not only with the big work, but also with their congregation. You know, the things they've done in the congregation.
Yeah.
And we're back down to one now.
Oh, yeah. And it does separate the two, church and God's work.
How about by involving them in their congregation and with God's work?
Right. Something along those lines. Or the other way around.
Involving them.
What? Involving them in their
congregation and
God's work.
God's work.
That's the...
And the larger work of God.
Yeah, a larger work of the church. You know, talking about the evangelism from, you know, good news beyond today. You know, all that.
Capital W on that word.
Right.
Of the church.
Okay, you want to do that? Okay, I got you.
Yeah, thank you.
Can we put that on just two lines, that word that God sort of stands out as a single word there?
Okay, we're pretty satisfied with this second. Let's kind of look at this as a whole. Then, Peter, before we go down, let's give it a half a minute, gentlemen. Give it a what?
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
Peter, take out the word. Yes, it should be in their congregation.
In their congregation.
They don't have
conflict resolution skills. I mean, we're going to provide training.
And that kind of keeps it back. I mean,
we want to have some lectures about that.
Work of God, in that case.
Because that's your fucking individual.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll roll out on that. That was okay, gentlemen, if we're satisfied, let's move down into the this area for a few moments.
We're looking at the critical success factor.
Let's start with critical success first, please. Thank you.
Well, it's all good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, opportunity for member involvement, we should say.
Okay.
That's good.
Why do we have positive pastor-youth relations? Shouldn't it be positive pastor-member relations?
Well, we're focused. I say we have youth and youth.
We're addressing one of the objectives when putting youth in there.
Okay. Gerald, your question is up here?
Yes.
What are you suggesting?
Well, once again, it's like you said, I don't like compartmentalizing the church. And we've done that. Elderly, the family, singles, youth. And is that doing that?
I think that when we did this, you know, we were twice as, you know, we were quite a bit bigger, some bigger churches. And we just didn't want to leave the kids out. You know, I don't think it was meant to segment. It was just... wanted to make sure we leave those youth
programs. You could change that to member, because the one below it says youth program. Yeah. See what I'm saying? Just, so there it means everybody. Next bullet means youth.
So So what was the strategy up above the, I mean, the goal that you were talking about there? That was percentage youth retained.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Effective pastoral care was up there.
Yeah, it looks
the objective.
Fun.
That would match that objective up there.
Would you put, Peter, engaging youth in programs? Or is it?
Where are we now? Coming back down to critical success factors, right?
Well, it means, something bullet. It means that the programs are something that's gets them, keeps them, you know,
engaging programs, engaging, yeah. Critical to their success with their youth. Yeah.
Okay.
Those have good ones.
All right.
Because if you don't have very good ones, then it's not a, you know.
Let's do one more focus on critical success factor, then we'll move over to barriers.
Robin, the one straight down the opportunities, I'm sorry, it's high pastoral involvement at local levels. Isn't that covered in the first four pretty well? Positive number of issues in engaging youth programs.
It is, yeah.
Gentlemen,
Carl, I think answer Bob's question that there's too much demand on the pastor's time. So, you know, we're looking at having more involvement of the pastor in the local area. It's a critical success factor.
But it is.
I believe it the way it is.
Do we need anything in there about pastors promoting the gospel or helping with the promotion of the gospel?
You could, that last bullet point, Matt Randy, you'd see capable presenters, instructors, you could just somehow...
Yeah, because the education
wanted,
program
yeah.
would be...
You could education and proclamation programs.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. He's already
problem is
throwing that in there.
You start mixing your goals. You have three different goals here. Proclamation's up in the first goal. We're in the second.
Yeah. Yeah. Program comes out.
Keep doing that. We're mixing our goals now.
Right. Yeah.
I took that program and said, capable education and proclamation presenters.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to be careful not to include every goal in every section because that's otherwise we're back to generic.
Okay. Yeah.
Aaron, with your focus, critical success, are you satisfied with what just happened there?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. Can we move on just for sake of time? And maybe one more, Bill? Go ahead.
If you are looking at priorities, bullet point number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 should be bullet point number 1.
This one here should be number 1?
I reckon, because unless you've got a sufficient number of passes, a lot of the other doesn't fall into place at all.
You can do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, very good.
Well, I think that's, you know, pointy there. I mean, it's all good stuff, I'll think.
Yeah.
That's good. Can I check on that first one, sufficient number of elders and pastors?
Hell yes.
Yeah, that's important. Good, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Should you separate those two, or just elders?
Elders and pastors.
Some elders. Because
we've still got a lot to go.
I would say pastors, because we've always been committed to having a pastor as much as possible in all areas. We're pretty focused here, gentlemen, just for sake of time. Can we go to barriers now?
Do the barriers apply to the, are they speaking of the pastors and the elders, or are they speaking of the members?
It's speaking of congregational care.
Yeah.
Just what are the barriers
to achieving your objective?
Okay.
So it applies to everybody.
Barriers to providing a Christ-like service environment.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the lack of spiritual disciplines applies to both members and ministry.
Yeah.
Friendships and some parties involved. That's just, in other words, people's attitudes, kind of what we're talking about.
Yes, bullheadedness.
Okay. All right.
Bullheadedness probably would not, it would make it longer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what it meant.
Well, the second last bullet point now extends, doesn't it? Challenge of meeting U.S. and international manpower needs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
I would say, just take out international, meeting manpower needs.
Yeah.
Meeting all manpower needs?
Just manpower needs. I mean,
I like it with U.S. and international. So okay. Then you have the focus.
Okay.
Sure, we're trying
focus.
To help.
Right.
Yeah.
Trying to help outside the U.S.
Okay. If this were to match, we say over here, a sufficient number of elders and pastors,
too many demands on pastors' time. We are increasingly using our elders as well, and they have demands on their times too, which then is a can be a barrier. Mm-hmm. I just think it fits in if we're talking about elders and pastors here. I know, and as with all of you, we're using all of our elders have been very used all of their church life, much less in UCG the last 15 years. And now with this last half year, they are going everywhere to from Latin America to 4 church circuits, 5 church circuits. So I think that can be a possible barrier.
If you want to do it as the collective elders and pastors, we could do that.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it should be that.
Does that make sense to everybody?
Yep, elders and pastors. Yeah.
I think our elders will agree with.
It's nice to include the elders because they're helping so much more.
Oh, yeah.
They are going above and beyond. So,
yep. Well, the last point, doesn't money qualify as resources? Lack of resources, manpower. Money is resources, isn't it?
Yes.
Or will you separate the two?
Well, manpower resources, too.
Yeah.
Well, one is human and one is.
Could
physical.
Do that. Lack of resources and manpower.
Money. Yeah. I'll take the money out because that is a. Mm-hmm.
To say lack of resources?
Yeah.
Think so?
Well, resource doesn't mean just money necessarily.
It can be human resource or it can be financial
it
resource.
Money. It includes money.
It can be intellectual resource.
The one above is limited resource,
which is typically part of the human resource.
Mm. Lack of human and financial resources.
Limit. I would take out the word lack and put limited. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Limited?
How about limited? Human and financial resources.
Yeah,
I think that's
extra
reality.
Better. That's better. Yeah, that's better. There you go. Okay.
Okay. Let's just take half a minute look, gentlemen, on barriers, and then we can move on. If you can just raise that for a moment, Peter. Thank you.
We just like a spiritual discipline rather than disciplines.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Looks good.
Okay, Peter, let's move up to... Thank you, Bill.
Okay, strategies.
Now, the first one was a direct result of we prioritized for media and for ministry what are the most important things. And the first thing was the training program. And that's what drove a lot of the Texas, thing. So I'm just explaining why that is at the very top of the list. Doesn't mean that it should not be at the top of the list, because I do feel like we do want to do something for the ministry. In fact, I'm talking with Gary Antion here. We're trying to develop a program like we did this for the fall, but to have it maybe earlier to train some of the new hires that we have in some ministerial skills. But we're going to have to think about, after we get past this crisis stage, about a more comprehensive program for training ministers.
Can we just take that out, Vic, right there?
That's exactly.
Take that out.
Yeah. See, like I said, that was being driven by the.
Yep.
By the
I would. Can I make an offer too that you take out? You third move to the bottom. Educate pastor on how to encourage and improve member service involvement. Put that more toward the top, and because that 1 year we were just working on doesn't have to be the key number one focus anymore. That's, like you say, was being driven by.
Yeah. Well, that was our strategic plan, had those things. Is our strategic plan still that? When you take a look at what we were given, that was the...
That was the key thing,
the
facilities.
The key thing, education. Well,
number one.
Not so much facilities, that was an adjunct to it, but it was training ministers. That was training our future. That was the first and foremost thing.
But that was what was driving their need then to have...
To the facilities,
the facilities.
Never mind that 90% of our training has always been on the job.
So do you want to educate the pastors on how to encourage member involvement and service first, especially since we're talking about Christ-like service? Move that up, like Gerald suggested, to close it to the top?
Well, I don't think it really makes much difference if they're both up there. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to walk out of this door going one way or another way. They're both important.
Yeah.
But I might move it up to like the second or not the first point.
It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Is it correct to say a pastor for each congregation, who is some very small congregations where a pastor may be able to take two, but That's a nice goal, but I'm not sure if it's...
Well, right now, you know, like Rock Corbett is in Salt Lake City and Grand Junction. There's a pastor there to take care of each one.
Mm-hmm. Every church has got a, knows that it has a pastor, yeah, even if he's a long ways away.
It can be interpreted that way.
It can
way
be the same pastor for...
Yeah. But it's not a pastorless church.
Yeah. Okay.
Could I suggest that wherever we mention pastor, we reword that as pastors and other elders?
Yes.
For instance, second point there, educate pastors and other elders. Or just and elders.
And elders, yeah.
And elders.
Yeah. Because Vic, all that material comes from you is going to the elders, you know, the like ministerial journal.
Could I also suggest then you change the top one?
Yeah.
To ensure there are pastors to care for all congregations?
How about there is a pastor
or
elder? Because right now we have elders who are not employed pastoring congregations.
But I guess pastor. I have this thought too that some of our elders may become volunteer elders. That does not mean
volunteer pastors.
But they're volunteer pastors. That's not what I'm getting to. You know, really, I mean, we do have several. We have one right now that I talked to this morning. He wants to pastor for 6 months for free. We have Don Perwitz. You know, he is the pastor. You know, for that area, but he's not paid, and he's not just a pastor.
Yeah.
So
isn't a pastor somebody who's pastor?
Not necessarily paid.
Yeah,
well,
he's pastoring. Yeah.
To be paid.
He has ultimate responsibility for the congregation. I mean, he is responsible. I look upon an elder as somebody who's subordinate to a pastor.
So do we want to leave elders out in that first bullet and just say there are pastors to care?
Ministry covers it.
Yes, on that first point, I would change it from ministerial candidates. Actually, what we're meeting there is pastoral candidates, but it actually should be, I would reword that as ministers, a comprehensive training program for ministers to meet our current and future needs, and drop candidates.
Well, sometimes, though,
that covers
when they come in to the leadership training for that, they're not ordained.
They're candidates at that point.
Yeah, they're just candidates.
And this is then, that training program then is to help ensure that we have pastors and elders to care for each congregation.
Yeah, that looks good.
Peter, do we want to add here church pastors and elders in conflict resolution?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because if we had some kind of a training program, we would make them welcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, should we be saying that continue the program? Because we have started, not developing. Continue the program? Is there a conflict resolution program in place?
Well, sort of. I mean, everything we do to teach people helps them to manage people better.
But we do not have a specific conflict resolution program, right, that I'm aware of.
Not a specific one.
Yeah, so that would still have to really be developed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a look at this real quickly, then let's move on. We want to get Aaron up this afternoon as well, mm-hmm. so we've got one more area of operation to look at. We're all satisfied at this point, gentlemen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Peter, if we can move to the next. Okay, we're moving into the third part here, which is organization.
Cultivate a Christ-like service environment, so that's added. Community, effectiveness, and satisfaction among employees and elders. So the question is, are we going to be doing these surveys are now redundant again?
Get rid of that.
So
everybody's happy now.
Yeah.
New satisfaction level of home office employees and elders. We still want to continue to increase the satisfaction level.
Yeah.
So we do need to keep that in. I'm going to make it one sentence, I think.
Yeah, one sentence.
I appreciate we're taking those statistical references out. So actually, Michael will not be happy.
Will not be happy?
Michael Wilkinson.
Oh, yeah,
but there may be a time to reintroduce them after we get through this transition.
I'm not saying we shouldn't take them out, but the whole point is you cannot manage what you can't measure.
You're supposed to be able to measure it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're taking the measures out. Leave them out, fine, but keep in the back of your mind Yeah. At some stage, I've got to get back in there.
And the only way to get them back in is through surveys and studies and
to start over and
just wait a while on surveys.
With all of that, let's just focus on this box so we can move on down to clinical success. Anything else, gentlemen?
Increased number of employees who exceed performance expectations. Just lower our expectations and it's solved.
Okay, let's go up to a critical success factor. Peter, please. Okay, we're focusing on the left, gentlemen.
Should that be administration instead of leadership?
It may be the council and administration.
The council too? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Rob, what's been by the second to last one? Leaders model teamwork. That's a critical success factor.
Christ-like service. Better teamwork.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah, that brings that
there
in.
There we go. That's very good.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Yep.
Barriers.
Okay.
Yep.
Take one last look at critical success, then we'll move on to barriers. Anything on critical success?
It's okay.
Let's move on to barriers, gentlemen.
Under the second bullet point, limited resources. That would coincide with
what we said before.
And take out facilities.
Take out facilities because that was because we couldn't go to Texas. No, really, that's the thing.
Yeah.
The number one barrier is not as large as it was.
No.
But it still exists.
It does still exist.
The one headed up silo mentality, and it was one I put in originally, but it should say the organization, not an organization.
Is there still, there's always unresolved conflict, but I can see hurt feelings, scars to the past for sure, that are there. But are we acknowledging that there's still a lot of unresolved conflict? I don't know if I'd put that up that high. There's been a lot of resolution to things here of late. Maybe not less hurt feelings, but there's been a resolution of things. We don't have tensions here like we have.
We could be satisfied. What's on the board is to take off unresolved conflict and just end, because this is a barrier, hurt feelings and scars for the past.
To me, I'd feel that's more truthful.
There.
I second it, Vic.
Okay.
And if we're putting them in any kind of order, I'd just move it down a bit, maybe two.
Yeah, we do.
What does silo mentality? Where does that come from?
Silo mentality means a lack of cooperation and communication, Denny, between different departments.
But that's not happening.
It's not happening.
That's what I'm saying. Can we just take that out?
That's not true. Now.
It's not true.
No, it's not true.
It was before.
That was before. That's why it was so good right there.
We'll be good to go.
Yeah. Well, are we only writing what is true? I mean, poor communication is also no longer a problem. Are we not writing what possible barriers are to critical success?
Well, that's true when you look at it as possible barriers.
But they're not the ones that are imminent.
No.
So we were putting them down because they were right in our face. They were right in front of our nose.
So a possible barrier is you could I drop silo mentality, but just say it's a lack of communication and continuity.
Well,
that's
just put that down. Communication here because it's redundant.
Yeah, just put lack of communication and common goals. That would be a barrier.
Just Peter, this can go out because this is redundant.
One is the departments, the other is
with the church in general.
With the church.
Okay.
the fourth from the bottom, too many hats, that's almost unavoidable at the present time.
Yeah, so some still, of the barriers are unaffordable, like not having enough money.
Yeah, it looks okay.
Let's take one more look at barriers before we move to strategies. Just get one more.
That's a good question, Gerald. What does this refer to, everybody?
It was a problem.
It was a problem, yeah. People just doing their own thing.
It can be a possible barrier, but you can go on and on and on. There's possible barriers.
They're possible, yeah.
But I think that what we're talking about here is that people were just doing their own thing. We didn't know what they were doing. And that's why we put it in there.
Does it need to stay?
I don't think so.
Would anybody object if I took off lack of accountability?
It's gone. Yeah. I think it's just it's rather general. That doesn't really.
Yeah, it doesn't even say
it's not specific enough.
Yeah, is it between the editing guys in the video studio or what?
Yeah.
I think that when we put them in here, there were very, very definite things in mind.
Yeah.
But they're.
It's
a different landscape right now.
Yeah. Would you mind skipping back to the objective just for a moment, Peter?
Back to the objectives?
Yeah.
Are you satisfied, Bill, or are you still reading?
If something came to mind, I can't bring it out at the moment.
We can wait a moment.
It's the second one.
Increase home office employee satisfaction.
Why would we not also include elders there? And that's an internal communication.
I think that when we're down to this third area, the first one was ministry.
Oh, yeah, this is not the ministry. This is more the home office organization.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is employee.
Well, why have you got elders at the top?
This is organization.
But then you have critical success factors. You put elders in, Peter.
Yeah, and you've got elders in the first.
There's all kinds of elders here at the home office, too.
The elders are part of the organization.
But you don't want to make it look like you're separating the elders from the employees.
But does organization mean only home office?
It's mostly those who are employed.
Everybody's in the field into the home office.
Yeah, you got men in the field, too, who are employed.
But your goal is to include elders.
Includes everybody, doesn't it? Organization?
Well, the big deal for this third section to even have it was the fact there was so much tension at the home office that we made it a very high priority.
Made it a third goal.
Right.
So this applies when it says this section is home office.
Home office. Yeah.
And employees in general, but some who are pastors.
I don't know. At the very top it talks about elders, employees.
Employees and elders.
Yeah.
So
when you go back to the goals, it says cultivate an environment of unity, effectiveness, satisfaction among employees and elders.
So that includes all elders, right? Mm-hmm. So then it should follow through then on everything else.
So we just say employee satisfaction here then, because that would include not just home office employees, but just employees with in communications as an organization. It's a human resources type thing. You know, how do we communicate with our employees? What kind of programs and benefits do we have? Are we doing it in a Christ-like way with our employees?
Comments before we move on?
You're increasing the satisfaction level of home office employees and elders, and you're increasing the employee satisfaction with internal communication. Do you need a more definitive description of the satisfaction? No, I'm thinking of the first one, Peter. Do you need a more definitive explanation of what sort of satisfaction? I mean, satisfaction with what? Satisfaction with their job?
General satisfaction?
Increased general satisfaction?
Or job satisfaction.
Yeah, job satisfaction. Increased job satisfaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, among
the elders have jobs, they just
be among
do voluntarily.
What is the elder leaders they have?
employed elders there, aren't you?
Yeah, and in general, that's what this organization section is about. That's the corporation.
Yeah, if we made it, I mean, I've always understood that third section. We're really talking internally about employees. Mm-hmm. And
but that includes elders.
Some elders.
Yeah, some elders.
Again, I was referring to this gridlock that was here at the home office.
Just want to keep the lines clear. We're satisfied. Okay, Peter, where do we go next?
Strategies.
Okay.
Develop a plan to communicate with employees to increase satisfaction and effectiveness. Develop a comprehensive human resources program to better serve organization and employee needs. Design and implement a systematic plan of communication.
Okay, I think that we are thinking about developing human resources into more, bring it together more, and so forth. So I think that that's very, very definitely. But as far as developing a plan to communicate with employees, increase, I don't know what we have that way.
Well, we have implemented some new communication vehicles already this year. There's been the blog, there's been the ministerial e-news, mm-hmm. there's been, you know. So we could continue to implement a plan of communication. We'll continue to implement and improve.
Yeah, continue to, yeah.
Implement and improve.
Or implement and improve.
Systematic plans, or a systematic plan.
Of communication.
Employees and elders inspire a shared vision of the church.
Now, should that continued theme run through the first two boxes? Peter?
Yeah, probably.
It sounds like we're just starting something when...
What are some of the other words we used before?
Just continue.
We had develop, continue, train, produce, revise,
improve.
Maintain.
Yeah, maintain, improve. Maintain just means keep it at the same level. How about improve?
The HR ones are develop, and then the other one, the third one's continue to implement.
That looks good.
And you do the plan.
You need another word in there.
Plans.
Improve.
Plans.
Improve plans.
Double the plan.
You'd ask on the end plan.
Improve plans. There you go.
With employees.
Oh, that's true. Improve communications. Good point.
It's so good in this. Cool.
Now, don't we need something here beginning in this area of talking about Christ-like service among the employees?
Strategy.
I think we...
You could add a separate, whole separate point. Box, whatever
point.
You want to call it.
All right, let me see.
Christ-like environment.
Yeah, that would be good to...
Yeah, and the word, a good word to use would be foster.
Oh, good.
Peter, my comment would be
gave me a blank line in the wrong spot.
Sure,
so foster.
Lager.
Foster a
Christ-like service environment.
Yeah.
Building near that.
Good.
Is this his organization category? Foster a Christ-like service environment throughout the organization.
Sure.
Should be number one.
And it will be.
Wish I could do all those things that Peter does. Oh, yeah. Just flip these things around.
Keyboard shortcuts.
But you know, when you say that's fine, that statement about Christ-like service throughout the organization, but it begs the question: well, how through X, or does it need that?
That's a strategy. It's not how.
That would be an action.
So this is just a strategy, and then how it's.
And what each department is supposed to do after this is then develop their action plans for all these strategies, which is not in this. That's internal.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
The second one, would it be improved communication with the employees to increase job satisfaction and effectiveness?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We added that at the top, didn't we?
Yeah.
Didn't we put job satisfaction?
I think that what Bill is correct, because the others have
Yeah, we put job up here.
So that, you have job, effectiveness.
Okay, getting close. How's that look?
Well, where are we with the comprehensive human resources program? Do we have one under development?
Aaron's been talking about it, and we really need someone dedicated to HR that can help him with accounting and HR work.
Except what we're saying is, since we first devised this strategy, we haven't moved.
Not yet. That's why we still have to develop it.
That's an important need really need to do something about.
We have an
about.
HR manual, but we don't even have a way to.
Don't have
implemented.
And it's all on mainly Aaron now, trying to get help from others. It's
The remainder of this plan, everybody, is the summary, which is this spreadsheet, right across the middle of the two pages, a summary chart. Which will show up as I have to insert that again now. Then we have the budget, and then a letter from our smiling treasurer. I need your signature.
You have to write a letter?
You have to write a letter. Here are some additional comments on the proposed budget, Aaron. Actually, it's going to be, 11, 12. So, and then budget, every page. And then at the very end, we have been putting out an appendix, which is the media philosophy statement, to remind everybody. So.
Okay. How do you feel about the media philosophy statement?
I think it needs a little bit of revision.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that we did that in 2004 in our retreat in Colorado. And I was just wondering if you and your media mind did this.
And you recall once it was launched, then the media department did come back and suggest a couple of edits, and it was revised at the next meeting. Remember that?
Right.
So there's probably time to look at it again, but I don't think we have time right now.
Well, do you need to include it?
That's why I said, can you drop it off?
You want to drop it off altogether?
I didn't say that. I just asked the question. Do you need to include it?
I would leave it in. It hasn't been changed.
Is there something wrong with it?
Well, let's read it. Let's all take a moment to read it.
And look at it.
If you need pages, Peter, you can drop that. If it's bifold and such.
I just taught a class at ABC for an hour on this whole thing and the scriptural backing for each paragraph. So it is, of course, scriptural and biblical. It's a question of how to.
I would leave it in.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Actually, it was. I thought it was a remarkable statement at the time.
Yeah. I like it.
Why?
Nothing, Vic.
Oh.
You're funny.
The words fit.
I think it's a pretty good statement.
All right, we'll leave it in.
Peter, when this middle page, all the changes we made automatically?
Well, not automatically. I cut and paste into each box is what I'll do.
Okay.
So, cut and paste into each box. Thank you, Robin.
You're welcome. Thank you. Well, thank you, Peter. And Mr. Chairman, we're ready to submit to you that we need to probably adopt this and put it before the council, the strategic plan and the operation plan. Or do we want to wait until, are we going to finalize the budget today, Aaron, or we're going to do that in teleconference?
No, we used to, in this meeting, used to do all of these things at the very end, vote on them sort of.
Okay, but I don't, so we will wait and we'll hand that off to the chairman. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay.
About 2011 now,
and I'll hand over to Aaron then for the budget, and then we can vote on all three together. Is that right?
The council actually approves the budget operation plan, the strategic plan for adoption by the general conference. We don't adopt
that. That's true. Do we have to do each one separately, Bill?
We have
them. You have them each separately.
Yes, each one is being sent separately.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which budget are we approving?
Aaron's
going to ask you.
He's going to review the budget. Yeah.
Which one do you want, Aaron?
I sent you all a resolution to get that in email. Probably the resolution.
I mean, Darius wanted vegetables. We lost our chairman. We're breaking. Our chairman needed a break. Did you get my email to each of you on the resolution? Should be in front of you. It's about rescinding the resolution of August 27, 1997, portion of it that has to do with the cash reserves and restated in 2002. I'm not sure exactly which meeting that was. About the estate donations.
Do you recall what day that was, Roy?
In 2003. No, I had written down here 98, 97.
I've got it right here.
Okay.
It was August 14, 2003.
John, we had a resolution back then which tightened up what had previously been done on making sure all estate donations went strictly to the retirement fund and could not be used in any of our cash reserves or for any of the other purposes, which was done twice again, once in 97 and once in 2003. We certainly want to take care of all the employees, but we are an organization of faith, and this I know a number of people have felt that it's more self-serving and have actually not given us the donations because they wanted it to go to the critical needs of the work or preaching the gospel, et cetera. And so I'm asking that we change that. It'll help us in two ways. One, it will help us by adding cash to our cash that can be used to meet our reserve policy that we have, the 10-week reserve policy. And also, I think we're faith-based, and it helps us spiritually in realizing that we rely on God for our support and that He will take care of us. So I've written the following resolution I'd like to consider. Whereas the United Church of God is a faith-based church whose needs are supplied by those God moves to support the work of the church to preach the gospel and prepare a people, and whereas God has always supplied for His servants, and this COE, Council of Elders, does not wish to place the welfare of the ministry above the other needs of the church itself, and whereas the council no longer wishes to restrict estate donations to the retirement fund, but to be available to be used in any appropriate manner in agreement with the mission statement of the church, it is hereby resolved that estate donations are no longer separated from other cash funds available to do the work of the church. Any comments or corrections or additions or... Yes, Bob.
Servants rather than supplied.
Provided is fine. So, Gerald, are you changing those things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
I think you got the two above. Yeah, two aboves, above the or something.
Yeah, I saw it. I'm typing that quickly here.
Aaron, these are called estate donations or what?
Estate donations.
Yeah. Estate donations was under state and bequests. I think it was just under bequest for a search. Yes.
And does this preclude somebody who would like to donate his estate for a specific purpose? Is it?
No, it doesn't preclude that. No. Someone.
No.
It just doesn't. We're not restricting it or forcing someone to make it, which has been awkward for some people. Then
very much so.
They want to give it, and they say, "Oh, so it's only for that purpose?" Well, no, I don't. So.
Yep, absolutely.
If you don't mind, too, Aaron.
Yes.
After estate donations, I put in. In parentheses, bequests.
Okay.
So it's both. Good. Both of their.
You can say subject to restrictions by the donees if it's like.
Okay. Gerald, parentheses.
Gerald, do we also need a resolution to rescind that part of the original resolution?
No, because it is such a
obscure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we do need to rescind the 97 one, don't we?
Yeah, the 97.
That one, the one in 2003 is so obscure.
Yeah. I made reference, so I would know that both of them were involved.
Yeah.
I can put that in there, that it's rescinded.
Be a second, yeah.
What did you say?
Subject to the restrictions of the donees.
You say this this replaces any and all other resolution
concerning the bequests and that. I didn't say it replaces any. I just said we need to rescind them. We need to say that in the resolution. This replaces any previous.
I think so, yeah, especially the poor one is no longer existing.
So he's had that a sentence at the end of it? Okay, then we had that sentence at the very end, where after it says the estate donation is no longer separated from other cash funds available to do the work of the church, this resolution replaces, supersedes and replaces
all other rations
all previous resolutions. Darrell a chance to catch up with that. So if we put that in, do we have to rescind the other ones then?
If you have the supersede.
It supersedes it, then we don't. That takes care of it.
Okay. I will do that.
So what have we got now, Gerald?
Okay, Gerald, do you want to read that to us now?
Yeah, just read it.
Whenever you're ready. Discussion on this while he's typing it. Yeah, none of us want to not take care of anyone, so it's not a matter of that. It's just a matter of placing ourselves above other needs. I don't think is the. I know that's what Christ did. So we're trying to be Christ-like in this resolution.
Okay, I'll give you my
best read.
Best read here. I'll start with the third, whereas, because nothing else really changed.
Why don't you go and read it fully?
Okay. Whereas UCGIA is a faith-based church whose needs are supplied by those God moves to support the work of the church, to preach the gospel, and prepare our people. And whereas God has always provided for his servants, and this council does not wish to place the welfare of the ministry above, should we say, ministry and employees?
Fine.
Ministry's fine. Yeah. The ministry above the other needs of the church itself, and...
Okay, I just have whereas about the faith-based. I don't know if I would describe us faith-based, because faith-based is a terminology that's used to describe a certain spirituality to non-church organizations like faith-based charities. Faith-based
as a work of faith tends to be our...
Yeah, I would say as a work of faith, not faith-based. Yeah.
Okay. Is that work of faith?
Yeah, the Church of God is a work of faith.
Okay. Okay. UCGIA is a work of faith whose needs are supplied by those God moves to support the work of the church, to preach the gospel and prepare a people. And whereas God has always provided for his servants, and this council does not wish to place the welfare of the ministry above the other needs of the church itself, and whereas the council no longer wishes to restrict estate donations, requests, subject to the restrictions of the donors, to the retirement fund, but to be available to be used in any appropriate manner in agreement with the mission statement of the church. It is hereby resolved that estate donations, requests, are no longer separated from other cash funds available to do the work of the church, and it is further resolved that all previous resolutions with regard to restrictions on estate donations are superseded by these resolutions.
And that applies to two specific resolutions going back.
Yes, yes. Yeah. These resolutions, this resolution.
You say replace and supersedes.
Okay.
And like Bob said, you ended with these resolutions. Is it only one resolution here?
It's actually two resolutions we've got now.
Oh, it is two of them in this one
and
reading?
And we need to incorporate that in to make sure you've got it covered, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you also including the one in 98?
This is all previous.
This is all previous resolutions with regard to restrictions on estate donations.
So we can discuss on the budget, Aaron, while he's doing...
Discussion?
Yeah, just wondering if we could use the time.
Well, what we're going to ask next is we're going to do a 6% for projection of income. 60%, 0.6 on the number. I gave you the other one, 65 and 70, but I think 0.6 is probably more realistic. It doesn't change the numbers we're creating, it just changes the amounts of reserves we're using.
Do you want me to email this to everybody so they can look at it one more time?
You can. I'm happy with it. Okay.
I'm happy. Just happy.
Was the last portion. These resolutions.
Just read the two resolves.
Okay. The resolves are hereby resolved that estate donations bequests are no longer separated from other cash funds available to do the work of the church, and it is further resolved that all previous resolutions with regard to restrictions on estate donations, bequests, are replaced and superseded by these resolutions.
By this resolution.
No, there are two resolutions.
Yeah, but the second one is this resolution is replacing
the aforesaid resolution then. Okay, yeah. I can do that.
Well, you're including two resolutions within this one. This is one.
We're only making one resolution to change those resolutions. It's right plural the first time, it seemed wrong the second.
Is the home office to have on your email?
Are replaced and superseded by the aforementioned resolution.
Okay, I move that we accept this resolution. Do I have a second?
Second
by Robin. A discussion? All those in favor? Any opposed? Bill stepped out. Any abstains? I'll ask Bill for his vote when he comes back in. Okay. Okay, we'll ask Bill his vote, and he can add it to the count when he comes back. The budget we handed out, again, the one that has the 0.6 or 60% up there, we'll clean up some of the notes I put on it for us, and I'll add them in the letter. The question is our income projection, then we're projecting at $13,950,000, and we're putting a faith line on there, which I think is good for a church. So we think income will increase $1 million, but we're not going to build it into a budget per se. It's that type of a line. And then the difference will be reserves to make up what that budget is so we can continue the momentum that we've built for the past year and not take that out. Expense side of the budget, all the rest of those things in the back, we can present it as is, although there's a couple salaries, obviously, in the ministerial that we can add that will change that slightly, but not enough to be significant. And I'll also flesh out the international areas by country, which we hadn't done yet when I present to the printing. Okay, we're unanimous on the resolution. The delayed vote. We had someone leaving the state, so you could avoid them. But we had the guards bring him back, so he voted anyway. Thank you, Bill. That's it. Yeah, one socialist in the bunch from Australia. Any comments on the budget, the expenses and things? Again, we're going to live with the $1.1 million on the line for medical. We're not sure exactly what we will end up doing to make that happen. It could happen as a result if we pray faithfully for all the sick and they're all made well and we have no $110,000 losses that we'd come in and be able to do everything we want under that. We've always been guessing between $350,000 and $650,000 in that column anyway. It's been a guess. But no one's getting younger, so it's awkward to guess lower, even though we may have to find other ways to make that work. And we've discussed that in the session. So that number, again, all of our budget numbers will float when the expenses come in because of the situation we're in. There is a little bit of guesswork in exactly where. But as far as the overall, what each area gets, are we happy with the budget? And do we want to shift? And again, the actual cost centers and the individual line items will be put in by the operation managers in the as we enter the budget into the QuickBooks. But overall, I'm suggesting that we present this budget with the letters we'll write with them, ask to the GCE for their approval. And we'll give them the same understandings that we've given to the council at the May conference. Any objections to that or comments or changes?
Did I miss what revenue projection they are putting in?
0.6, 40%. So the budget is $13.95 million. It's going to be the front sheet of the main handout. And again, the line with the faith item that we think because of our faith in God and the studio and the way people are writing in and asking to attend right now, that there will be an increase. We're not sure how much, so we're putting the line in there so people recognize that that's where we're going with it. And then to cover the other areas, reserves. Yes, Bob.
The question that Aaron got specifically is to this, but we never involve the international areas in the budget except for saying
that we
subsidize. Yes. And yet there are substantial budgets. You know, the Canadian budget is about $1.5 million, something like that, for the numbers of people. I mean, think of the concept of UCGIA, you know, with the total number of memberships that we do have. It seems a little remiss that we just have specifically here the American budget, you know, it boils down to, it's like, IA, you know what I mean?
Yes.
We're not including the outsiders. I'm just wondering if that wouldn't be a wise move to make.
It would, except under the rules of association, we don't have that. And so, therefore, to delve into that could be a violation of that. Again, in one sense, the fact that the international votes on our budget is an anomaly because we don't vote on theirs. As we unify, that should become less of an issue. Yeah. We're all brothers helping, kind of like Macedonia has needs, and we send it to Jerusalem, etc. And I think as we unify and become more Christ-like, that will happen by itself. That's my prayer, and it will. And again, as the camaraderie grows and the threat of unity, that will happen. But I wouldn't want to introduce it into something that would cause controversy in other areas.
Well, I'm more thinking in terms of the appearance of GCE. Mm-hmm. When we're all together, they're with the internationals there as well. And you know, our presentation, in a sense, doesn't include the international areas. Perhaps just verbally stating that.
We could, and we could have another page that shows what the international independent budgets are, I suppose, but it wouldn't be a matter for them to vote on. It would just be information purposes. I'm not sure we could do that this year. It's kind of tight, but we could do that for future years.
You'd also have some international areas with different financial years as well. For example, New Zealand's financial year ends on the 31st of March, not the 30th.
So you'd have different separate years, but you could do an equation that says their annual budget is on their fiscal year X. And then they would know what the worldwide resources of the church are for that purpose, which would be a good thing for them to know.
Just know.
But to realize, I wouldn't want someone to vote against our budget because all those people have too much money or too little in, you know, in that sense. Yeah. But informationally, that would be good.
Randy? Just a clarification. Step forward in faith, anticipation in the income is increased by a factor or by an amount?
An amount.
Which was about $1 million?
$1 million.
Okay.
In the bottom line there. Yeah, I think. I don't want to sell God short, because oftentimes when you ask for a little bit, he gives you a little bit. If you ask for a lot, he gives you a lot. So I want the members to realize we are counting on him. All of us. Yes, Roy.
The savings under congregational care in the mileage, the lease car program and all of that, is that basically from the reduction of employees?
It's a reduction of employees. And again, that's a hard one to know exactly where it'll be. All this, again, is tied to the way the ministerial services ends up packaging how it cares for the congregations. Because of the amount of mileage, the number of churches, and the people we can hire, and the resources of the local elders who are helping us as to pastors and of sort underneath a senior pastor, things like that. So again, we certainly appreciate the flexibility we're given this year to sort this out. And we have a lot of good resources in the church, whether they're paid or not paid, or whether they're ordained or not ordained. We have a lot of very good resources that we rely on. Mr. Chairman, then I suppose you can come up and ask for the individual approvals to present to the GCE. Garris?
We're at that point. I'd like to ask the chairman's indulgence on something. This is we've come to the end of this week, and we have thought a lot and talked a lot about this budget, knowing what we've been through the last few days, a few months. And we've tweaked this strategic plan, this operations plan, to reflect what we feel is God's direction for the United Church of God as we go forward. We look at this budget, you've included very appropriately a line of faith in there. I'd like to move that before we ballot on this, that we submit this in prayer before God.
I would agree.
And I'd like to ask our president lead us in that prayer as a council.
Absolutely.
And submit this before God for his blessing.
Very good. Thank you.
We're all in favor of that, I think.
Yep. Very much.
All right. Now, fellas, I wonder, since we're at a critical point, I appreciate what Darius is bringing up. Would we be willing to do it on our knees?
Sure.
I don't know if we've done that before, but this is I thank Darius for bringing it up to this point, because each day when we meet as a staff, what we do in the office is we say, God, only you can give us success and bless us in the future. And we do that every day in the office together as operations managers and key personnel. As these men know, we get down on our knees. And that's how God, with all of us working together, we feel guided us through that crisis day by day, week by week, when we didn't know what to do and how to handle things. So if you all feel comfortable with that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.